We must have a board meeting immediately after the morning worship. And when the pastor and the board members began to assemble in the meeting room, there was a stranger walked in. The pastor said, "Sir, you must have misunderstood." He said, "I wanted all the board members." Well, he said, "Sir, if there's anybody any more bored than I am," he said, "I don't know who it is." So I'm not going to bore you tonight. And I'm going to bore for a little while, and if I don't strike oil, I'm going to quit. But I believe I'm going to strike it tonight. I said, I believe I'm going to strike it tonight. Let's all lift our hands and praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to give you my word of honor. I'm not going to preach any longer tonight than I want to. I'm going to read the Bible, and if you love the Bible, you're going to stay with me. And if you love it, you'll be shouting after a while. Praise God. Let me turn to St. John chapter 6. Verses 28 and 29. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." Now for a text and a subject, I'm turning to Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always and ever prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to thank this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace." I want to refer you to verse number 6 for a text and a subject. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Now that word "perform" in this sense means finish it. And let me read it in that light. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will finish it. And the title of the message, "He is able to finish it." He is able to finish it. God has the ability. All he needs is the material to work on. And he will finish it. Let us lift our hands to the Lord and thank him tonight. And ask his blessings upon the preaching of the gospel tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You may be seated now, and the Lord bless you tonight. If you will notice what I have read in your hearing, to me these scriptures are very rich, and they are certainly deep in meaning. We're going to talk about God tonight. I'm not going to talk about space travel or spaceships. I'm going to talk about God, what he is able to do. Now, these people that have been fed with fish and bread, they immediately ask Jesus this question: "What can we do that we might work the works of God?" I suppose they had in mind that the Lord would reveal to them the secret, how they could assemble a large multitude of people, and the Lord would tell them the exact string to pull that they could make fish and bread multiply. But the Lord gave them the shock of their lives. What can we do that we might work the works of God?
Yes.
Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Paul, as he unveiled this mystery, he said, being confident of this very thing, God that has begun a work in you is able to finish it. When I read Hebrews chapter 11, that's a roll call of faith. The scripture said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He simply said that faith is the foundation. Faith is the springboard. Every man has received a measure of faith. You might not, in your heart tonight, you might not even recognize, and you might not even say that I have faith. But every man has a measure of faith. And the scripture has declared, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Not that He was, but that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm contending the very moment that faith sprung in your heart, you made your first step toward God, you heard Bible preaching on repentance, how to get right with God, He begun a work in you. He started a work, and I'm here to tell you that He's able to finish it. I said He's able to finish it. Men, they have lost good jobs because they did not have the ability to do what was demanded of them by the company. Other men, they have started real low on the ladder of employment. They worked their way to the top because they had the ability to do what was demanded of them. And I'm here to preach to you tonight, the God that I serve has the ability. He's not short on anything. He has the ability. All He needs is the right kind of material to work upon. He needs people that is soft and pliable, that can yield and bend to the will of God. He has begun a work in us. I notice Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth what? A birthday almanac? 10,000 times no. He that believeth the gospel that I have commissioned these men to preach. You don't get by without the gospel. I said you don't get by without the gospel. The trend of the day is just so you believe something, that's all that counts with God. I dispute that tonight with every ounce of strength I have in my body tonight. There is not but one gospel. He commissioned the early church not to preach a gospel, but He commissioned the early church to preach the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. When He said, go preach the gospel, he that believeth, the gospel, when that happens, the work begins in the human heart. When you believe, then the work begins in the human heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I read in the paper today in England where the little prince that's just been born, he was baptized. And I saw his picture, had his mouth open. And the man that baptized him dipped his finger in water and touched the head of the little prince and said, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If my Bible means what it says, baptism means to immerse, bury, cover up. That's what it means. I said, that's what it means. Somebody said, I think it's all right to sprinkle. That's burial. Let Fido die. Drag him out behind the barn and pick up a handful of dirt and sprinkle on Fido's head. In about 3 days, you'd recognize that Fido was not buried. Hallelujah! Somebody said, what you folks are doing in that auditorium is a put on. I'll admit it. But you've got to pull off a whole lot before you put this on. Amen. Romans 13:14. Romans 13:14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof. Put him on. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been joined, for as many of you as have been joined, sprinkled, poured, no, for as many of you as have been baptized in the Christ, you have put on Christ. You've got to put him on. I said you've got to put him on. Hallelujah! You've got to put him on. You put him on when you are baptized into him. The children of Israel, the Bible said, when they crossed the Red Sea, they were baptized under Moses. In the cloud and in the sea. They had a baptism from above, one from beneath. A type of a new birth in the New Testament. Born again of water and the Spirit. Hallelujah. They were baptized under Moses. We are not baptized under Moses, but we are baptized into Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Baptized in His name. Washed in His blood. Filled with the Spirit. Our name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said, and thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Take your Bible. You will never find where Jesus Christ in the pages of the New Testament ever built but one church. He said, I will build it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. For the foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. He built the church. He laid one foundation. I said He built one church. Laid one foundation. He built that church upon that one foundation. And that one foundation is Jesus Himself. Read above verse 18 in Matthew chapter 16. This is what you find. When they came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? Oh, they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But He turned to His disciples and said, whom do you say? He wanted a confession. Whom do you say? Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Hallelujah. Art the Christ. Then Jesus said, upon this foundation. What foundation? Upon the true identity of myself. Upon the truth of who I am, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the gates of the grave, the gates of the lake of fire, the gates of all the false preaching that's going on in this world tonight will never be able to prevail against the church that I am going to build. He has the ability to build it. He has the ability to keep it. You know what I'm fixing to do? I'm fixing to go to preaching now. I have laid a good foundation. And listen, you might as well fasten your seatbelts, because I'm going to load your wagon tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I know what I'm preaching. I know exactly what I'm preaching. This did not come by some far out dream or going away off out there in the ball field. I read the Bible. I got a revelation from God. I've got chapter and verse. Hallelujah. I know where it came from. I know where it came from. It's a revelation of God. It's a revelation of God. And don't tell me that God shows you something contrary to that word that's already settled in heaven. The Spirit and the Word will always agree. They harmonize. They harmonize. They never cross each other. I want to read you a scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. And listen, I have relied on this scripture time and time again. I have preached in new places. I've crossed swords with false doctrines. I'm very well acquainted with a lot of things that are taught that is absolutely an untruth. It's an error. But hear me. I have relied upon Hebrews 12:26 many times in my preaching. When I first started, I was known as a boy evangelist. I was just as slim and trim as this microphone stand is. Oh, I had the zeal. I'd preach and I'd run and I'd holler. And I got a letter from a fella. He said, if you'll just water down and tone down. He said, you're young, full of life. He said, I'll sponsor you. I'll get on the radio with you. And I said, and he said, I'll make something out of you. I laid that letter in the waste paper can. I never even answered it. Listen, I've got a call from God. I've got a call from God. And I want to tell you, when I started preaching, I didn't have to have somebody to try to make something out of me to attract a crowd. I got out and stood under the drippings of Calvary. I felt the power of that blood. I began to preach the gospel. Hallelujah! All that stuff makes me sick to start with. Amen. We're going to promote so-and-so. And about all thereafter is what you've got in your billfold. And when that's over, it's all over. You know, these men all over the country having their big healing campaigns. I'm not against healing. My God, I've been touched many times by that divine healing power of God. But brethren, a lot of us are racket. You hear me? A lot of us are racket. And the problem is, when they have the healing campaign and the campaign is over, the pain is still there. That's the problem with the whole thing. But you hear me? Many religious groups are springing up throughout the world saying, they are it. Others are saying they are Christ. Brother Bibbs down in Indiana, he's real witty, you know. A man walked up to him one night, reached out his hand. He said, praise the Lord. He said, I'm Jesus Christ. He said, who are you? Brother Bibb said, I'm Doubting Thomas. When somebody comes through preaching something, pulling fire down from heaven, you know the first thing I want to know, what does he preach?
That's the truth.
That's what I want to know. What does he preach? What does he preach? Oh, he doesn't preach much of anything. Well, stay away from him. Here's the trend, and I'm afraid of this. No law but love, and no creed but Christ. Listen, I don't believe that beats greasy. I don't think you understood what I said. I said, they don't believe fat meat is greasy. They don't believe a thimble full of nothing. But oh, brother, hear me tonight. Hear me tonight. When everything else is fading away, when it's going down the drain to never come back again, there is one thing that will stand the test of time and eternity, and that is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It'll stand. It'll stand. Here is what I wanted to read. Hebrews 12:26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also at heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And when the shaking time comes, a lot of folks are going to be left out. I said when the shaking time comes, what they believed then is going to fall, because it's a dream. It's not a revelation from God. But Paul did not leave us in darkness. With another stroke of the pen, he said, wherefore, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Oh, sure, and it's steadfast. That which can be shaken will be shaken. But thank God, there are some things that cannot be shaken. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. We're in that which cannot be moved. And I've heard it said, the church is going down. It's coming to naught. It never will amount to anything. I'm going to take you to a scene in heaven. Listen, I'm going to get a church in heaven tonight before I sit down. If I don't die with a heart attack, and I don't plan on dying tonight. That's right. I'm going to finish what I started out to prove. You see, I believe in preaching the Bible. I don't believe in preaching all this junk that's going around over the country. I don't preach it. I don't have no fellowship with it. Whatever God says, that's it. That settles it. You need not pray about it. All you have to do is to step out like a man or a woman and obey what God has said, and you'll receive what God said you could receive. Revelation is not a hard book to understand. And it's been called the book of Revelations, plural, that's not correct. It's the book of Revelation. That means the unveiling. It's not a closed book. It's a revealed book, the unveiling. And even the first chapter declares that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to John. The revealing, the revealing. Chapter number 1 introduces Christ and the book. Chapters 2 and 3 embraces the 7 letters that John wrote to the 7 churches. Each one of these churches represented a period of time from the birthday of the church in Jerusalem until the rapture or the catching away of the church. Then when the curtain comes down on chapter 3, the last letter that he wrote to the last church that he addressed it to, when the curtain came down at the close of chapter 3, then chapter 4, the curtain rises, and there is the rapture of the church. John heard a voice as a trumpet speaking unto me. John was projected into the future as if the rapture had already taken place. He saw exactly how it was going to be. At the close of chapter 3, the church is seen no more on earth. I'm going to give you chapter 4 and 5. That is scenes in heaven. Chapters 4 and 5 are scenes in heaven. Hallelujah. And John saw it exactly how it's going to take place. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8 now. Let's read and see what he said. And when he had taken the book,
the four beasts and 24 elders,
the four beasts, the 24 elders,
fell down before the Lamb.
Fell down before the Lamb.
Having every one of them heart.
Having every one of them heart.
And golden vials full of odors.
And golden vials full of odors.
Which are the prayers.
Which
of
are the
saints.
Prayers of the saints. Read on.
And they sung a new song.
They did what now?
They sung a new song.
Who did the singing?
The saints.
Who did the singing? The saints. The church. Who did the singing?
Saints.
Luke chapter 2, I've heard Christmas programs and I've heard all things set forth about Christmas and when Jesus was born, that there was a heavenly choir that came down on the fields outside of Jerusalem and they all started singing. You go home and read Luke chapter 2. This is what you'll find. When the angel came down and didn't say a thing about singing, they said, glory to God in the highest. Never teaches they sung one note. Now, I think I heard that go kaplunk. But I've got some men up here tonight, you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to show you tonight that angels cannot sing what we sing. Angels, they've never been lost and they've never been saved. They are created beings. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, we're going to do the singing. Hallelujah. I said, we're going to do the singing. Listen, I couldn't care a tune if it was in a bucket and the lid put on the bucket. But you wait till I get to heaven. Hallelujah. You wait till I get to heaven. Praise God. Listen, I want to get on Glory Street, right where it crosses Hallelujah Boulevard. And somebody will say, what's all the noise down on the street corner? They'll say, that's that gambling that's got to heaven, and he's having the time of his life. Hallelujah. Thank God to shout and to praise and to glorify and to magnify the name, the name. Hallelujah. The name. Hallelujah. They sung a new song. Read now. Notice what he said.
Saying, thou art worthy to take the book.
Thou art worthy to take the book.
And to open the seals thereof.
And to open the seals thereof.
For thou wast slain.
Thou wast slain.
And hast redeemed us.
And has done what?
Redeemed us.
Redeemed us. We have bought with a price.
Yes.
Not redeemed by such corruptible things as silver and gold.
Hallelujah.
But redeemed by the
Hallelujah.
Precious blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I was in Washington some time ago, and I went on a guided tour. They took me to the place where they print all of our paper money. Yeah. And they have it in bales, like cotton. And they spend it in bales.
Yeah.
When I got in that place, I looked around. I never saw so much money in my life. I felt led to take up an offering. I never wanted to take up an offering as bad in all my life as I did that day. I turned to the guide. I said, you think they'll let me come back here and hold a revival? I said, I'd like to preach right in the middle of this. Well, he said, I don't believe so. Well, I said, are they handing out any samples today? No, he said, no samples today. Well, I said, that's all right. You can stack up all the gold, the silver, the greenback that has ever been made. It will never, never redeem a lost sinner from his sins. But one drop of Calvary's blood was enough. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God. Can you let me preach what I want to preach right now? You let somebody come in our churches. Now, please don't misunderstand what I say. Let somebody come in our churches that's been a dope addict, that's been a drunkard, They get the Holy Ghost the next place. They're behind the pulpit giving their testimony. I have no objections to that whatsoever. But listen, we've overlooked something. We've overlooked something. What about the Pentecostal kids that has cut their teeth on a Pentecostal pew? They've never felt the sting of a needle. They've never wallowed in some back alley drunk on cheap wine. We've overlooked them. We've overlooked them. I think they deserve as much honor because they have been kept from that kind of a life. The church is designed for two things. First, to save a life before it's broken. Secondly, to save a life after it's broken. I helped a crusade in a church some time ago, and one of the fine young women said, "Brother Gamblin, I guess I'll have to backslide and go out and get on dope and come back in and get back to the Lord before anybody will ever recognize me in this church." We have missed it. I have the utmost respect for you kids that are in this meeting tonight. You've never felt the sting of a needle. You've never caused your parents any trouble whatsoever. I recognize you tonight. I honor you tonight. I respect you tonight. I respect you tonight. You went to school and they made fun of your long hair. You boys went to school with a good haircut and they made fun of you. They called you a holy roller, but you kept going right on, living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll tell you why you did that. You had that something on the inside that kept you from going out and breaking your life and ruining your life and damning your soul to hell. I honor you tonight for that. I honor in a man or woman. I don't care how old they are. If they own dope to come to Calvary and get saved. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. I honor them too. But thank God we have overlooked the youth of our church in this respect. We ought to preach to them. We ought to tell them that they made the right choice. They made the right choice. When Moses had come to years, he refused. There's something about this. There's a choice, and then there's a power to refuse. When he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, you hear me tonight? There was something in him. He looked away down the road, and he saw that reward. He saw that reward. Oh, they sung a new song. They sung a new song. Notice what he said. Read it.
Thou art worthy.
Thou art worthy.
To take the book.
To take the book.
And to open the seals thereof.
And to open the seals thereof.
For thou wast slain.
For thou wast slain.
And hast redeemed us.
Hast redeemed us.
To God.
Redeemed us to God. How?
By thy blood.
By thy blood.
Out of every kindred.
Out of every kindred.
And tongue.
Tongue.
And people.
And people.
And nation.
And nation.
And hath made us.
And hath made us.
Unto our God.
Unto our God.
Kings and priests.
Kings and priests. Kings.
Hallelujah.
And priests. I don't have to go to a man with his collar turned in reverse and confess my sins. I'm a priest myself. Hallelujah. Thank God. That's right. I'm a priest myself. I'm a priest myself. I'm a king myself. Hallelujah. We are kings and priests unto God. Well, I made my first effort getting a church in heaven. You wait till I get through tonight. Listen, I'm going to put the right church in the right place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Somebody else got a Bible? Stand up here with me right quick. I want Colossians 1:18 and Ephesians chapter 4. I want somebody to read. Listen, I feel like preaching. I haven't been so full of preach since this time last night. Hallelujah. Thank God. There's something in me. When I get to talking about God, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Listen. I'm going to be shouting with you in a few minutes. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:25. Now notice what he said.
Husbands, love your wives.
If we could come to the place tonight where we could see the right relationship between Christ and His church. I'm going to put it right where it ought to be tonight. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ
also loved the church.
Now, what did He love?
Church.
He loved what?
The church.
He loved the church, singular. He loved the church. Well, what did He do after He left it?
And gave Himself for
it. And gave Himself for what?
The church.
For the church. He gave Himself for the church. Now, read on.
That He might sanctify...
That He might sanctify the church.
And cleanse it.
And cleanse the church.
With a washing...
With a washing...
Of water by the Word.
With a washing of water. And verse 18. Read it out real loud. Get right over there, brother. And skip right square in that microphone. Well, that's exactly what I want you to do. All right.
And He is the head of the body.
Wait a minute now. Who's the head of what?
Jesus Christ.
Christ is the head
of the body.
Of the body?
The church.
The church. Now, Ephesians 4 and 4. Now, Christ is the head of the body, the church. One head, one body. Anything with two heads is a freak of nature. The head of our church is not in Rome. The head of our church is seated on the throne of eternal glory. It's in heaven. Christ is the head. The church is His body. The head is in heaven, the body on earth. And I've tried to visualize the rapture. When the sound of the trump comes, the head will start toward the earth, and the body will start toward heaven. And I don't know, somewhere in midair, the head will be joined to the body, and we shall forever be with the Lord. He's justified. He's coming for the church that He's lost, that He's redeemed. That's the church He's coming for. Now, Christ is the head of the church, the body. Now, you all have been up pretty late around here every night. And you're going to be up a little late tonight. You drive up to wherever you stay in. You may drive out of town or in town, wherever. But when you park your car and get out, kind of slow motion, and start around the building, and you meet a body that's got two heads on it. You ain't got no rheumatism. There ain't nothing wrong with you, friend. Not one thing. Oh, the different churches, the different religious bodies. What I'm proving tonight, there's only one head, one body. That is the church. He redeemed it. He loved it. He sanctified it. He justified it. He washed it. And one day, at the sound of the trump of God, He's going to split the clouds of eternal glory, and He's coming back. Hallelujah! Now, this is settled. Christ is the head of the church, the body. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4.
There is one body.
No, 1,400.
One.
500.
One.
300.
One.
200.
One.
One body, one church. You just might as well nod your head. That's it. One, that's it. Someone said, where in the world did you get that one that's stuck in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4? It's all through the Bible. Read it.
There is one body.
There is one body. That means one church.
And one spirit.
How many spirits?
One.
Three.
One.
Three.
One.
Well, have it your way. One spirit. Did you ever notice when John baptized Jesus, three writers told the same thing, but they told it differently? The same occasion. Mm-hmm. They said the heavens were open and the Holy Ghost came down like a dove. The other writer said the heavens were open and the Spirit of God came down like a dove. And the other one said the heavens were open and the Spirit came down like a dove. Contradiction? No, it's all the same. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is all the same Spirit because there's not but one.
Right.
I got crossed up with a man. I was preaching in a new place. He came and I said, I don't believe what you believe. He said, I believe that when you come to the altar, that you get sanctified. Then the next trip, you get the Holy Ghost. Well, I said, we don't teach that. And I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, now suppose you come tonight and get sanctified. Then you come tomorrow night and get the Holy Ghost. Then next year, you backslide. You'd have to backslide from being sanctified, but you still have the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, he said, you lose it all at one time. Yes, and I said, that's how you get it. You get it all at one time. You either have it or you don't have it. That's it. Let me plunk it down like it is. Come on, one spirit. That's all there is. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit are we all baptized in the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Just one spirit. That's all there is. Read on now.
Even as you're called.
Even as you're called in one hope of your call.
Right.
Read on.
One Lord.
How many?
One.
Two.
One.
Three.
One.
That's all. One Lord. Read on.
One faith.
One faith.
One baptism.
One baptism.
One God.
How many?
One.
One God. One God. Read on.
And Father of all.
And Father of all.
Who is above all.
Who is above all.
Through all.
And through all.
And in you all.
And in you all. Well, hallelujah. He's above all. He's through all. And he's in you all. Oh, I was preaching up in Yankee Land. And being from the South, I say you all. And I was preaching on Sunday night, had a big crowd, and I said, you all. And I saw those Yankees, you know, begin to nudge each other and smile. I stopped. I said, you know, I said, I know what you're smiling about, but I said, I had a brother that talked just like this, and I said his name was Paul. And I referred him to Ephesians 4, where there's one God who is above all, through all, and in you all. And before I left town, I had those Yankees walking around saying, you all, hallelujah. That's right. Praise God. He's above all. He's through all. And he's in you all. Hallelujah. Thank God. You know, there's something about God. God can't go anywhere because he's already there. That's right. He can't go anyplace. He's already there. He's everywhere. He's above all, through all, and in you all. Hallelujah. To think when you walk down the street, you may be feeling a little low, but remember that you're the temple of God. Walking down the streets of this town, you represent one of the greatest causes in this world tonight, and that's the cause of Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Lord. And let me tell you, friend, he has begun a work in this church, and he's got the ability to finish it. Finish it! I was holding a meeting one time in a city. They had a factor that made car radios, and the pastor wanted to take me on a guided tour. I went through that factory. This started down here on an assembly line. That chassis of that radio never stopped. Girls on both sides of this moving belt, and when it came to them, they would put a little solder or a little something. After a while, it came out down here as a finished product. And before that radio went to market, they would put rubber bands around it, hang it up, turn it on, and take a rubber hammer. Just hammer it to see if there's any loose connections. And you might think on Sunday morning, what in the world is the preacher preaching about? He's trying to find out if there's any loose connections anywhere. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know what? Loose connections will cause static. But when that rubber hammer comes down, if there's any static, it'll show up. The unknown tongue will never hurt your community. It'll never hurt your church. The unknown tongue will never hurt this district. But it's that little known devilish tongue that needs no interpretation. That's a tongue that does the damage. You know, the tongue that can sit in the living room and lick the skillet in the kitchen. The pastor preached a great sermon on Sunday morning, and a lady got on a conviction. She came and said, Pastor, I want to lay my tongue on the altar. He looked down. Well, he said, sister, he said, I'm sorry, but this altar is not but 40 foot long. We need the kind of preaching that will rock the pews in our churches. We need shingle slapping preaching, window rattling preaching, the kind of preaching that will make the termites come out and come into the keyhole of the door to see what's going on down at the Pentecostal church. We are never called on to rock the cradle. We are called on to preach the gospel and to stir folks up and to get them ready. This could never happen in California, but it could happen in Arkansas. A lady and the pastor had a falling out. It could never happen here. After several days, he decided, he said, I better go down now and talk to the sister. Said, we got to get this straight. Her car was in the driveway. He pulled in, went to the door, knocked on the door, no answer. Knocked three times, no answer. He knew she was in that house. So he got down and looked through the keyhole of that door. And she was down on the other side looking through the keyhole of the door. Well, he said, sister, this is one thing I can say. This is the first time you and me has ever seen anything eye to eye. Been redeemed. Now I want to go just another step here, and I want to show you something that we're talking about. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 9 and 10 reads like this: the captain of our salvation is able to bring many sons to glory. Oh, hear me tonight, friend. Many sons to glory. Many sons to glory. He has the ability to do it. And one day, he's going to present us. One day we're going. It's not coming to naught. It's not going to fail. Let me give you some good advice. You'd better stay in the church. A banana is all right as long as it's on the stalk. But when it leaves the stalk, it's going to get skinned. You'd better stay where you are tonight. He has appointed us not to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have an appointment. I said we have an appointment, hallelujah, to obtain salvation. Now, let's finish up with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Now, let's start and read that whole thing again. I'm going right down the middle and listen. I want your undivided attention. Like you haven't given it to me yet. I want you to know what I'm preaching in this building tonight. Read it, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives.
Even as Christ also loved the church.
And gave himself for it.
That he might sanctify it. And cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it. To himself.
To another.
Himself.
Now wait, we got a problem on our hands here. Presents the church to himself. A person asked me not long ago, said, why is Christ going to present the church to himself? I said, two reasons. Reason number one, there's nobody else to present it to. Woo!
Glory.
Reason number two, it belongs to him.
Yeah.
He bought it. He sanctified it. He justified it. He washed it. He cleansed it. On a Christmas some time ago, I saw something downtown I wanted so bad for Christmas, I hated to ever remember my family. They never paid no more attention to me than nothing in this world. I waited as late as I could on Christmas Eve, and I went down, and I said, I want to buy that. And I took my credit card and bought it. I said, where's the gift wrapping department? They showed me. I went back there. I said, lady,
I want the prettiest wrapping paper and the most expensive paper you've got in this store. I want you to wrap this. I want the prettiest bow ribbon that you've got in this store. I want it on this package. She said, this must be for a very special person. I said, you ain't kidding, it is. Now, I said, I want the prettiest card. I want the biggest card. I want a nice card. She got the card. She said, now, what do you want me to write on this card? I said, I want you to write from W.E. Gamblin to W.E. Gamblin. She said, run that by me again. I said, all right. And I shot it by her again, you know. I said, I want it from W.E. Gamblin to W.E. Gamblin. She said, all right. And I took it home. And when they were in the living room opening the gifts, I walked out. And I presented this to myself. It was mine. I bought it. Christ is going to present the church to himself. To himself. Not to somebody else, but to himself. Hallelujah. He's going to present the church to himself. Not the churches, but the church. The church. Hallelujah. The church. He's going to present the church to himself. To himself. He will present the church to himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. He will present the church to himself. Hallelujah. It belongs to him. He redeemed it. He bought it. He washed it. He sanctified it. He justified it. He cleansed it. And one day, he's coming after that which he has redeemed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah.
Whoa, glory. God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
What kind of a church?
A glorious church.
No, unholy.
A glorious church.
Dilapidated.
A glorious church.
Sin-loving.
A glorious church.
Beer guzzling.
Can't you hear? A glorious church.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Amen. Jesus.
He didn't die but for one. And he's only coming for one.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't care what they preach out there.
No.
Listen, I'm giving you what the Bible says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I'm shelling down the corn and I'm letting you take a glimpse at the cob tonight. I know what I'm doing. I watched a lady some time ago. I was having lunch. And I watched her over the next table or two. And she was drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes. My brother, she was a professional. She'd take a sip of coffee, and then she'd take a pull off the cigarette. Just let it come out of the nose and the mouth at the same time. And when she would want to flip the ashes, she knew how. She'd be sure. And I sat there and looked at her. I said, now, she thinks she's smoking. I said, she's not. I said, the cigarette is doing the smoking, and she's just the sucker. For clean people.
Yes.
Clean people. Holy people. And redeemed people. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord.
What kind of a church? Read on. A glorious church.
Not having spot.
Not having spot.
Or wrinkle.
Or wrinkle.
Or any such thing.
Or any such thing.
But that it should be holy.
But that it should be holy. Holy.
Holy.
Holy.
Holy.
But that it should be holy.
Holy.
And without
blemish.
Blemish. That's what he's coming at.
That's what yes. he's coming for.
Now, a lot of people will stop right there. They stop right there and never get the rest of the message. I'm going to give you the rest of it. Read now.
So ought men to love their wives.
So ought men to love their wives. You know, marriage is a great thing. No family should be without it.
That's right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
The census taker was knocking on the door, and he come to a house, and there's a man answered the door, and he was taking the information. And the census taker said, "Sir, what was your mother's maiden name before she married?" He said, "I didn't have a mother before she was married." You see, marriage is honorable in all.
That's right.
And the marriage bed is undefiled. I'm going to show you the correct relationship between Christ and His church. You know, listen, it's just as natural for young people to court as it is for a goose to go barefoot. Oh, listen, I've watched young folks. I know.
Yeah.
You see the girls, they'll fix up real pretty and buy some high-powered perfume and put it on. And when you meet them coming down the hall of the church long after they're gone, you know, you can still smell that good odor, you know. And these boys, they'll buy that high-powered shaving lotion, put it on, you know, and get that hair just right. Here they go. But young girls and young boys, the only trouble with that high-powered perfume and that high-powered shaving lotion, after a while, it's going to turn into Johnson's baby powder. It'll do it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, listen to me. We're talking about marriage, and people don't realize the connection there is between Christ and His church. I'm going to prove it to you. Come on, let's read a little more.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies.
He that loveth his wife. Loveth himself.
Loveth himself. Read on.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Read it.
But nourisheth and cherisheth.
But nourished it and cherished it.
Even. As the Lord the church.
As the Lord the church. Now read.
For we are members of His body.
We are members of His body.
Of His flesh.
Of His flesh.
And of His bones.
Of His bones. Now hold that scripture. We are members of His flesh, His body, His bones. And no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it. And I look around this auditorium and I see a lot of you that you're well nourished. You've taken care of that. But the Lord loved us and we have become a part of Him.
Yeah.
When God took the rib from Adam and made Eve and brought the woman to the man, He said, "Now, Adam, this is flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone."
Yes.
I was in the post office some time ago, and a preacher came walking in. He said, "You know, I got where I don't let people do all of the asking of questions. I ask some questions." He said, "Do you really believe?" He said, "I've been listening to your tape on the rapture. Do you really believe that Christ is coming prior to the tribulation period?" I said, "Yes, I do." "Well," he said, "I don't." "Well," I said, "what do you believe?" "Oh," I said, he said, "he's coming in the middle of the week." "Well," I said, "how are you going to know what the middle of the week is?" "Well," he said, "when the Antichrist comes and takes his seat of authority, then in the middle of the week, the covenant will be broken between the Antichrist and the Jews, and the Lord is coming." Now, I said, "if that be true, You can take the day that the Antichrist takes his seat, run your finger down the calendar 3 years and a half, and then you'll know exactly the day the Lord is coming. And I said, that's contrary to Scripture. He said, I hadn't thought of that. I said, that's the reason you're in the mess you're in. You haven't fought. Now, you can ask anybody a question, and they're going to have some kind of an answer, whether it's right or wrong. The fellow got aggravated at his wife. Looked at that woman and said, I don't know for the life of me why God made you so beautiful and yet so stupid. Brother, she had the answer. Twinkle in her eye and she smiled. She said, I know why God made me beautiful. He made me beautiful so you'd love me. He made me beautiful so you'd love me. He made me stupid so I'd love you. They'll always have an answer. Well, that's right or wrong. Well, that's right or wrong. Now, I said, Pastor, let me give you some good advice. I said, don't get up on Sunday night and get all excited and say, come, sinner, get right with God. Jesus may come tonight. I said, you don't believe that. Then I said, you go walk in on Wednesday night with your Bible under your arm and say, now I'm going to give you a Bible study. You saints better get ready because the Antichrist is coming before Jesus Christ and every one of you might lose your head. I said, why do you believe? Why do you believe that the church has to go through part of the tribulation? Anyway, oh, he says, to perfect the saints. I said, is that right? I said, now what about all the saints from Jerusalem up until that time? You mean they're not perfected because they are not going through at least half of the great tribulation? He looked at me. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Now, I tell him what you do. To prove my point, you go wherever you're going tonight, and when you get that, you turn on the oven of the stove and get it just as hot as you can, push up your coat sleeve or your dress sleeve and lay your arm in there and let it burn for a while. You may say, I'm not going to do that. Now, neither is Jesus Christ going to sit in heaven down here for his flesh, his body, and his bones and tell the angels to go and pour out his wrath upon his own flesh, his body, and his bones. Amen. Listen, this is sensible what I'm talking about tonight. It's just as sensible as it can be. I believe Christ could come tonight. I said Christ could come tonight. He's getting ready to come. It won't be long. It won't be long. Now he said, the tribulation must perfect the saints. I said, you've missed it all the way around. I said, God set something in the church. It's a preaching ministry, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfection of the saints to edify the body of Jesus Christ. That's what brings perfection, not tribulation, but the preaching and the yielding and the obedience to the gospel. That's what brings perfection. That's why we've got to come to church. That's why the preacher has to preach. And sometimes he's got to preach until he quits perspiring and goes to sweating. Hallelujah. He just got to preach. He's got to preach. But they'll have an answer for this right or wrong. I'm old enough to remember when I went to school, they graded us by stars on the report card. Do you remember that? Well, maybe you don't. You ain't old enough yet. Then in our Sunday school system, we had that for a long time. If you was absent, there was a star, one color, and another, and so on. This little boy came in from school one day, showed his daddy his report card. That was a star by every grade but one. One grade had a big old zero. His daddy took his card and said, son, what does this mean? Now, he looked at that zero like he'd never seen it before. Oh, that? He said, they ran out of stars and they gave me the moon. It was an answer, but it wasn't the right answer. Oh, brother, we need some answers tonight. We need some answers. Let us set our direction tonight toward the rapture of the church at the sound of the trump of God when Jesus Christ is coming to claim that he bought on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. That's what he's coming for. He's coming for his church. Read on. Right on down the line. Now notice what he said.
But where am I here?
Oh, you'll get it. Don't worry.
For this cause.
I want Genesis 5 and 1.
Shall a man leave his father?
Shall leave his father.
And mother.
And mother.
And shall be joined.
And shall be joined.
Unto his wife.
Unto his wife.
And they two shall be one flesh.
And they two shall be one flesh. Now you get this and listen. This ought to bring every one of you from those chairs back there tonight, running down these aisles and shouting as loud as you can. Some of you shouted and some of you haven't. But this ought to show you what I'm proving and talking about tonight. He has the ability to bring this church all the way from Jerusalem to the rapture. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's going to do it.
Hallelujah.
I said he has the ability. Yes. He has the power. Yes. He has the knowledge.
Hallelujah.
Notice what he said now.
This is a great mystery.
This is a great mystery.
But I speak. Concerning Christ.
Concerning Christ.
And the church.
And the church. Concerning Christ and the church.
Glory to God.
Flesh of his flesh. Bone of his bone. It's a mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now I want 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I want Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, I preached this scripture one night in one of our larger camp meetings. And I was surprised that the older preachers that came around and said, we read that time and time and time again, but just never connected it like you connected it. Well, I want to show you something here tonight. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Read.
This is the book of the generations of Adam.
This is the book of the generations of Adam.
In the day that God created man.
In the day that God created man.
In the likeness of God.
In the likeness of God.
Made he him.
Made he him.
Male and female.
Male and female.
Created he them.
Created he them.
And blessed them.
And blessed them.
And called their name Adam.
And called his name Adam.
There.
Called their name Adam.
In the day when they were created.
You know what I'm proving, don't you? Called their name Adam. In the beginning it was right for the woman to take the name of the man. If the first Adam was of the earth earthy, if he had a bride that came from his side, she had his name. What about the second man, the Lord from glory? What about his bride? Where did she come from? John 19:34, hanging on the cross, a soldier came and thrust a spear into his side. Out came blood and water. That solution that came out of his side will produce for him a bride, a bride, a bride, and we will have the name of the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Notice what he said now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1.
Would to God.
I would to God.
You could bear with me a little.
In my folly.
And indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous.
Over you with godly jealousy.
For I have espoused you.
All right, come on, that's the same thing. I have engaged you.
To one husband.
To how many husbands?
One husband.
I have engaged you to three husbands.
One husband.
I've engaged you to one husband. Come on.
That I may present you. As a chaste virgin to Christ.
Paul said that we're going to be married to another. I'm on Revelation 19, 7 and 8. You know, one time I got married. One time. And I don't know how I ever did. I've been so bashful and shy all of my life. Until I don't know how I ever got it done. We was going to school, and I was in the eighth grade. That's been a few moons ago. And she's sitting right ahead of me. I didn't hardly know her. She had long curls, and I reached over and I yanked one of them. And she took a lead pencil. She put it right there, and it's still there. There it is, right there. She branded me. Well, I went on through the eighth grade. It made me real mad. Went on through the eighth grade and got up in high school. And one day, going to history class, just for pure meanness, I winked at her. Her heart went flip and mine went flop, and there was a flippity flop. And then we got to going together. And we both got the Holy Ghost. See, I preached a lot of meetings in Miami. Tent meetings would be cold up in my country. I'd take my tent and go South Florida. Dead of winter, turn up the tent curtains and just have a big time preaching. That Miami moon, the coconut trees and the palm trees. Biscayne Park could just make you stand and just gaze at that moon. But when I got up courage in Mississippi to pop the question, I was so nervous. I said, "Wilt thou?" And she wilted. And I got engaged. I got engaged. I made it. Hallelujah. We got married. We're engaged to Jesus tonight. Yes, we are engaged. But remember, the engagement can be broken. I said the engagement can be broken. I married a lot of people in my day, and I've seen a lot of brides would have been better off if they'd kept the flower and threw the groom away. That's right. But we're engaged tonight. You wait, friend, till that eventful day comes. Now, wouldn't it be something if I'd stand up here? I know what they preach out there beyond the walls of this auditorium. They preach that Jesus now is king in his kingdom. His kingdom is the church. But when the end comes, he's going to present his kingdom to the Father. And he's going to step down and become an elder brother in the kingdom forever. If I believe that, I'd quit preaching tonight. Now, how would you women have felt the night you got married, that great night? Your husband would say, "Now, I married you, but I'm going home, and I'm going to give you to my Father." It makes just as much sense. That's right. Why would Jesus want to give his bride to someone else? He's courted her for 2,000 years. We're engaged to her. We engage to him. We have taken his name upon us. Hallelujah. And one day, the wedding is going to take place. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the wedding. Thank God for the wedding. Hallelujah. Revelation 19:7. Here's what the Bible said. Read it. Revelation 19:7. Let us
be glad and rejoice.
Let us be glad and rejoice.
And give honor to him.
And give honor to him.
For the marriage of the Lamb
is come. For the marriage of the Lamb is come.
And his wife.
For the marriage of the Lamb is come.
Yes.
For the marriage of the Lamb is come.
Yes.
For the marriage of the Lamb is come. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The marriage of the Lamb is come.
Yes.
Read on.
And his wife.
His wife now, his wife now, his wife now, his wife hath made herself ready. Read it.
And to her.
And to her.
Was granted. That she should be arrayed.
That she should be arrayed.
In fine linen.
In fine linen.
Clean and white.
Clean and white.
For the fine
linen. For the fine linen.
Is the righteousness of the flesh.